This is the Mormon Mixed Faith Marriage Podcast with Certified Life Coach Brooke Booth, episode number 118. Okay, we're going to talk about being on the same page today. And I'm going to use an analogy. So I want to give a little caveat with that is I have a love-hate relationship with analogies. I think they're great to teach and demonstrate, and also they're never perfect. So I'm going to go out on a limb with the analogy for today. So realize it's not perfect, but I think it's helpful. So let's do it. This is an analogy I share with my clients from time to time, and they find it really beneficial. So please enjoy. So many people come to me concerned about being on the same page regards to religion and oftentimes parenting too. There's can be quite an overlap between parenting and religion. And they come with this idea that in a marriage, you need to be aligned on everything. You need to be on the same page on specifically religion and parenting, but ideally everything. And spoiler alert, I'm not a big fan of this idea. You know, as a coach for LDS or Mormons in a mixed faith marriage, this just doesn't work a lot. Like, this isn't a possibility we can really embrace. So what are our other options? So I'm going to get to the analogy, but I want to introduce this concept of coverture first because I've been recently reading about it. So this is to talk a little bit more about this idea of being one, being on the same page, being in alignment. Coverture is a term from common law. Most things that become common law are customs from like old English standards and norms. Common law becomes like things that just have always been become codified as law through this like common law approach. So coverture is one of those things. And it's the concept that a woman's status in marriage is that she's one with her spouse, right? This idea of oneness, same page, aligned. And so they're now a single entity as far as the law is concerned. Therefore, she loses her rights to enter contracts, sue or be sued, sell or give away her real estate or her personal property as she wishes. The husband has exclusive power to exercise all of these decisions for and on behalf of his wife. So needless to say, I'm not a big fan of coverture. But I bring it up as an example because a lot of times people are like, don't we want to be one? Don't we want to be on the same page? Don't we want to be aligned with everything? And I'm suggesting, no, you don't. That type of thinking and reasoning, while can be helpful in some contexts to a certain extent, can also be highly problematic, like coverture is highly problematic. So my analogy that I'm going to present to you, it's my suggested replacement for oneness or one unit or being on the same page. Because I think that completely undermines the success of a mixed faith marriage. And I think it's problematic in many regards why coverture is problematic. So here's my analogy with that setup is I call it the designer and the engineer. So if you're one of my clients, you've maybe heard me talk about this with you. Here's a good review if you've heard this before. So follow me on this and hear me out. This will make sense or as much sense as an analogy can. So some backstory on the designer and engineer analogy is my husband works for General Motors, a car company, and he's a designer. So he's a designer at GM. He's worked there his whole career as a designer. He has a degree in industrial design. When he met me, he told me he was an artist for GM. So think designer, think like artists. Designers are not engineers, which is a very common mistake. People are always thinking my husband is an engineer. He is not. And you will see the distinction as we talk about this. So designers are about beauty, art, aesthetics, looks. They want things to feel good, look good. They want things to be functional and easy to use and be beautiful. They're about how the space feels. They're about perceived quality. They're about functionality. They're about innovation. That's what designers focus on. So if you were to come into my garage and sit with me in my Buick, it would be the designer who chose the inlaid wood, or now the inorganic material for sustainability purposes. Like, that's the designer. It's the designer who decided the shape of the IP or the instrument panel and where the knobs go and what everything looks like. It's the designer who chooses the body shape of the car, where the shape of the grill, the shape of the lights, the placement of these things, the shape of the door handle, the seat, even the little knobs on the side of the seat that adjust going up and down and all around, the shape and size of your vents. Everything is designed by a designer, to even the stitching on the steering wheel or the stitching on the seat. This is what designers do. Designers also like to innovate. They like to see if they can create more space by and increasing the comfort in a car by maybe decreasing the size of the pillar. The pillar is like the part of the car, but you know, that holds it together. You know, when you look at your windshield, the pillar is like the steel between the windshields, between the windshield and the like the side door. So they like to innovate. Can they decrease pillar sizes? Can they make seats slimmer or thinner? Can they move around steering wheels? Can they move around shifting sticks? Can they move around things to make the actual driving experience more comfortable, more spacious, more functional? Can they make more legroom, more storage? They like to have your experience to be pleasant as you drive a car. And designers wear trendy jeans and trendy shoes and sweater hoodies with sports jackets. Okay. Like, if you were, I used to, when we were very first married, I used to sometimes pick my husband up from work and I would watch the employees going in and out of the building. And I was pretty good at picking out the designers just by how they were dressed. Okay, those are designers. Engineers are different. Engineers make sure that the car gets you from point A to point B. They don't care if it's pretty. They care if it works. They don't care if there's leg rooms or cup holders. They care if it's according to safety regulations. Engineers figure out how to get the fuel from your fuel tank to your engine. They figure out how to get your airbag in your steering wheel or in your seat. They don't care if the seat has fancy stitching or the type of foam used. They care if the airbag is going to deploy properly. Okay, this is what engineers do. Engineers wear khakis and button-ups, right? This is what engineers look like. I'm being reductive here, but just follow me for our analogy. Engineers and designers don't always see eye to eye. Rarely, if the stories I hear are true. And designers want something new. Engineers want to use what's been tried and tested. There can be tension between the two. They disagree on many points. And here's my point. The point here is you want both. You want an engineer and you want a designer building your car. You want it to be able to go to the grocery store, and you want chrome handles and storage so you can actually put your groceries in the back of your car. You want nice seats and an attractive body shape, and you want your fuel lines to work and your airbags to deploy. If only engineers built cars, you would have a very functional car that would not be beautiful or comfortable. And if only designers built cars, it would be very beautiful, but perhaps have no engine. Think about the cars that you see in an auto show. If you've ever been to the International Auto Show here in Detroit, those are beautiful cars, but they don't actually ride on roads. They don't have airbags. You want both. You want both a designer and an engineer working on the car you're going to drive. And this is where I bring it into the mixed faith marriage. And this is where my analogy comes home. I think it's the same principle in a mixed faith marriage. You want two people with separate skills, separate points of views, separate talents in your family, in your marriage, in your co-parenting. You want the magic of a designer and an engineer interacting to create an amazing car. And you want that same dynamic to create an amazing family, to create an amazing couple. I like to think that your kids benefit from this dynamic, just like we benefit as consumers of cars. When you just have designers or you just have engineers, and it's not as good of a result. Come back to the idea of coverture. When one of those parties gets erased or gets discounted, gets folded into the other, so we just have one voice making the decisions, one voice deciding on all of the things, there are drawbacks to that. You lose the synchronicity. The synergy is probably the word I'm looking for. You lose the synergy of two individuals bringing their unique insights, unique talents, unique abilities to the table to benefit the family as a whole. If you really want your spouse to think like you, believe like you, parent like you, do faith like you, do religion like you, think about this analogy. Maybe there's something really good and really valuable in being different and having different perspectives and different points of view. Maybe there's a benefit to that, and you may not see it yet, but you are probably creating something amazing. At the very least, what I like to think is that, like, holding this analogy and believing this analogy makes the experience of being in a mixed faith marriage that much more gentle, that much more comfortable than thinking it's a problem that we're not on the same page, than thinking it's a problem that somebody is a designer and somebody's an engineer. Like, what if this was a benefit, a solution, a blessing, something that really improved the overall output and result that you're going for in your marriage? That's what I want to offer you today. Being in a mixed faith marriage means you have a designer and an engineer at the table. That's a good thing. Yes, there's going to be inherent tensions. Yes, you're going to have to work through some differences in points of view and things, but the two together can be really good. All right, if you are looking for some help on your mixed faith marriage, feel free to reach out to me. Let's get on a free consult and let's see if coaching can help you make your mixed faith marriage really great. All right, wishing you the best.